following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Thursday, July the 20th, 2023. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. This is End Time Headlines Viewpoint. This is your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome everyone tonight. If you're new to the broadcast, it's your first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below that you are new, where you guys are joining us from. So tonight, I want to talk about the big thing that they are not preparing you for. We're not being prepared fully for the big thing. What is this big thing? I'm glad you asked. Let's get after it tonight. All right, Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 8. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ responded when he was asked the question, what will be the sign of your coming? What will be the indications of the end of the age? He responded by saying, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. He continues in verse 7 with, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now let's number these, all of these events that he just named here in this one paragraph. He talks about wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. That's seven events. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to show you tonight that six out of seven of these events are literally right at our doorstep. Not to say that we're not seeing earthquakes in various places, because we are, but on a scale and magnitude about what I'm, the severity of the alarm that I'm sounding tonight, at least six of the seven events, rumors of war, wars in themselves, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines and pestilences. All of these things we're going to discuss tonight. And I believe that one big event can bring about at least six of the seven events here that Jesus talked about as a sign of the coming of the Lord and birth pangs in Matthew chapter 24. Let me give you some headlines here. Russia's nixing of Ukraine grain deal deepens worries about global food supply. On July the 17th, the Russian government announced that it was pulling out a deal to facilitate the export of millions of tons of grain from Ukrainian ports. The arrangement had been in place since July of 2022. The Kremlin's move immediately sparked concern, particularly in food insecure countries. The Kenyan government was quick to denounce the withdrawal as a, quote, stab in the back for drought-hit nations in the Horn of Africa. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said that Russia's withdrawal, quote, will strike a blow to people in need everywhere. Grain prices have been fluctuating since. On Monday morning, after the announcement, Chicago wheat futures, a global benchmark for prices, briefly jumped around 3% before falling later in the day. Then by Wednesday afternoon, Russia announced that all ships in the Black Sea bound for Ukrainian ports will be considered potential military cargo starting on that Wednesday. Wheat futures, as a result of that, jumped 9%. Monday's withdrawal announcement came hours after explosions reportedly damaged a bridge connecting Russia with annexed Crimean Peninsula. Moscow blamed the incident on Ukraine, but said the attack was unconnected to the termination of the grain deal. On Tuesday, Moscow launched a barrage of missiles against the Ukrainian port city of Odessa, a key export point for grain. So folks, it's no secret that Ukraine is a major hub of wheat exports. And now we're seeing, now watch this, you have a war that has been ongoing there with Russia and Ukraine, that now the result of this is impacting the grain and the wheat production there, which in turn is causing famine in various places across the earth. Here's a piece from Michael Snyder. Store food while you still can, because 2.4 billion people are already do not have enough food as this new global famine accelerates. As global food supplies continue to get tighter and global hunger continues to rise to extremely alarming levels, people on the other side of the world are literally starving to death. But most of us in the Western world simply do not care about the millions that are deeply suffering, because the mainstream media hardly ever talks about what is happening. That's what we're talking about tonight. We're being kept in the dark. We're being kept out of the knowing. And there's a reason for that. However, the reality is we in the West are still feeling the impact of this global food crisis. Snyder, in his article, he said he went to his local grocery store where he lives, and a small bag of potato chips that he could once buy on sale for 99 cents now has a regular price of $5.99. 99 cents to $6. Throughout the store, he said there was many products that he refused to even purchase because he thought they had simply become way too expensive. One British news source was cited saying that, quote, "We are facing environmental breakdown and food system failure simultaneously." Let me say that again. We are facing an environmental breakdown and food system failure simultaneously. Quote, "We face an epical, unthinkable prospect of perhaps the two greatest existential threats, environmental breakdown and food system failure, converging as one triggers the other." Wow. According to a report from the United Nations, nearly 30% of the global population does not have constant access to food at this time. And there are approximately 900 million people that are facing severe food insecurity. Let me give you this quote. Quote, "The food security and nutrition situation remain grim in 2022. The report finds that approximately 29.6% of the global population, which is an equivalent to 2.4 billion people, think about it, church, did not have constant access to food as measured by the prevalence of modern or severe food insecurity. Among them, around 900 million individuals faced severe food insecurity." Now, this was last year. This number has not lowered. It has not decreased. This number has only increased. So we fast forward, we come to 2023, and we've seen crops being devastated by natural disasters, bizarre weather patterns all over the globe, and now we're even seeing grasshopper plagues. I'll get to that in just a second. I want to show you something that happened in Utah recently, that this could be another sign, I believe, of God's judgment. Well, again, we'll talk about that in just a second. For example, in Vermont, they recently got hammered by flooding that many farmers have now reported just catastrophic loss of crops. Quote, "Farmers across our region," this is from Vermont, "are grappling with massive crop losses due to this week's flooding, which includes dozens of farm operations at Burlington's Intervale who are picking up the pieces as they face a difficult road ahead. For us, it is kind of over until we can replant." This was according to Hillary Martin with Diggers Mirth Collective Farm. She went on to say that the flooding was a total crop loss for everyone at the Intervale, and that her farm has already lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. Quote, "We have just totaled what we lost in the field, and it was about $250,000 in produce. This does not include what we cannot even plant for next month." Vermont Agriculture Secretary, Anson Tibbetts says many farmers are in the same situation statewide. "It will run millions of dollars, and it will be extraordinary because of just the crop losses alone." Then we go to the nation's midsection, where corn and soybean farmers have been crippled by drought. Record-breaking heat and pockets of drought are baking farmland across the country, threatening crop yields and squeezing out any remaining wiggle room to cope with more extreme weather this summer. Throughout the Sun Belt, an extended heat wave is sending temperatures soaring to the triple digits and risking heat stress to crops. At the same time, listen to this. Listen to all this verbiage. Same time, coinciding, simultaneously, together. Breadbasket states in the Midwest are struggling to manage a drought that's affecting some areas for a second year in a row. Nearly two-thirds of Kansas is in severe, extreme, or exceptional drought, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor, and about half of Missouri and Nebraska are in the same rough shape.
We are entering an important time of year in Minnesota, sweet corn season. But three straight years of dry weather has impacted fruits and vegetables, and now smoke from the Canadian wildfires is creating new farming challenges. John Lauritsen talked with the Garden Center about the impacts they're seeing.
I have been waiting for this time of year to get here so that I can come here and find the fruits and vegetables.
At Untide's Garden Center in Maple Grove.
I've got blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, and a big cauliflower.
Fruits, vegetables, and even flowers are ready to go. But the produce that ended up here needed a little extra help along the way.
Without that rain, it's an everyday activity, and we can't fall behind, otherwise we'll lose the plants.
Brad Jensen of Untied says they are experiencing their third straight year of drought. They have eight garden centers around the Twin Cities, but their farm near Waverly hasn't seen significant rain since Mother's Day.
That has increased our water usage, which of course then increases power and cost to the farm.
Jensen says they've actually used more irrigation the past 3 years than they did the previous 5 years combined, but he never expected smoke to be a factor too.
It looks foggy, but you can just see it's the smoke and you can smell it.
The smoke and haze from the Canadian wildfires has created a bit of a debate among some Minnesota farmers. Is it hurting crops, or in some ways, is it helping them?
There's a belief that smoke filtering the sun can provide relief to plants during extremely hot days. But Jensen says most farmers will take optimal sun along with optimal rain.
We do want really nice sunshine for all of our plants and all of our vegetables and produce to grow as well. Nothing's better for the plants and the produce than sunshine and water.
So I want you to keep this in mind. We have wars, okay? Now, I'm going to show you rumors of wars in just a minute, but it talks about famines and pestilences, correct? Yes. We're showing you that a lot of the nation is suffering with famine, whether it be through disasters, extreme weather, whether it be through drought, whether it be as a direct result of the war with Russia and Ukraine. But again, all this is coinciding together and it's producing famine. Okay, then I found this very intriguing. Look at this headline, and we got a video clip for you. Massive swarm of grasshoppers wreaks havoc in Utah, adding, look at this, to the dilemma of local farmers already suffering from drought.
It is something straight out of a nightmare. Right now, grasshoppers are swarming the state. They're ruining acres of land, and it's a story you will only see tonight on KSL.
News specialist Shelby Lofton met up with one rancher whose pastures have been overtaken by the insects. She shows us just how bad it is.
This rancher says hundreds of thousands of grasshoppers have taken over his fields here in Tooele, and he's not the only one. Producers across Utah are dealing with this same problem. A high-pitched buzz settled over this pasture.
They first started showing up a couple weeks ago.
It's where rancher Michael Dow earns his livelihood.
This is where I graze my cows throughout the summer.
Another species has taken over his land.
The hoppers.
More than a few. Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands.
Where he walks, they follow. When Dow kicks up dirt, he's also kicking up bugs.
Yeah, they'll stick to your clothes and get in your pockets.
They're not camera shy.
Ick. As we're driving through them with the side-by-side and they're jumping all over you and they land on your face.
They can also destroy crops.
Every bit of alfalfa that's in my fields is gone. I planted an irrigated pasture, and all the seedlings were about 3/4 of an inch tall, and
wow.
On Sunday morning,
Sunday night,
they were gone. It was bare dirt.
Dow had to move his cows and ask for help managing the pests.
Utah Department of Agriculture came out and they gave me a bunch of pelleted poison.
He says these grasshoppers weren't caught in time, so the spray isn't as effective.
About the worst in the state.
Now the rancher waits for their resources to dry up or seagulls to swoop in so the grasshoppers will fly away.
We're talking thousands of dollars in seed, in water, in time.
For now, his peaceful pasture has turned into a haven for creepy, crawly creatures.
Now, guys, this is on the heels of these gnat-like insects. Do you remember this? Gnat-like insects filling the skies of New York City. Check this out.
Not just smoke from Canada filling our skies. Swarms of insects filling the New York skies. They were simply inescapable. Anyone outside tonight knows that. It may be tough to see the tiny critters on video. I was one of those swarmed by the buggers tonight. They appeared around much of Manhattan and Brooklyn, causing something of a nuisance to anyone outside. The complaints started in small numbers last night. Tonight, some complained that this was a tad like some sort of biblical plague. And Lee, I know you were trying to think.
I think we need to rewind that. Listen what he says here.
It was a tad like some sort of biblical plague. And
it was a tad like some biblical plague. All right. So again, we have wars, we have famines, and we have pestilences. Now I'm going to shift gears here and I want to talk about rumors of wars, because there is a lot of chatter going on right now. We could call it chatter, but just for safe reference here, we'll call it rumors of wars, because there is a lot of, and I'm saying it lightly when I say a lot of chatter about a possible full-on military conflict with China by 2024 or next year. Let me give you this headline here. Quote, China and Russia, I want to say that again, China and Russia, you better get used to that alliance, China and Russia, to hold joint military drill in strategic waters near Japan. According to the report, Moscow will send its Air Force and Navy to the Sea of Japan, or East Sea, to take part in exercise to maintain security of key maritime corridors. Defense experts say the drills are seen as a response to Washington's attempts to work more closely with Tokyo and China to prepare for possible Taiwan conflict. As a result of this, Russia is sending troops from its Air Force and Navy to take part in a China-led joint military exercise, again, there in the Sea of Japan, according to the Chinese Defense Ministry that was recently announced this last weekend. Now, I want to show you this. We're going to watch this clip together. China is still preparing for war with the U.S., according to experts.
But do you believe that China is preparing for war?
Yes, the signs are unmistakable. So, for instance, at the Communist Party's 20th National Congress in October, Xi Jinping appointed what's called the War Cabinet. Of course, he's sponsoring the largest military buildup since the Second World War. He is trying to sanctions-proof his regime, and most ominously, he is mobilizing China's civilians for war. In July, a Chinese entrepreneur making medical products for the civilian sector told me that Communist Party officials came to him and ordered him to switch his production lines from civilian products to military products. There's been similar orders given to other manufacturers. As a matter of fact, the Communist Party is now operating factories once owned by private entrepreneurs because the private entrepreneurs said that they did not want to stick around for Xi Jinping's war.
Why is China doing this? What advantage do they gain by going to war?
That's a great question. I think that part of it is Xi Jinping must be seeing a closing window of opportunity.
But guys, so now we have wars. We have Russia and Ukraine at war. We have rumors of war that China will be at war with the West. And some experts, some analysts, other sources say even as soon as next year in 2024. But then we need to shift gears and we need to go and look outside of this and go look in the Middle East. For example, to Israel. Here's an article from Prophecy News Watch, quote, how the Israeli Air Force is preparing for a multi-arena war. Let's look at this article. In mid-June, The Israel Defense Forces completed a major two-week war exercise dubbed Firm Hand, which simulated a multi-arena war starting with Hezbollah and Lebanon and spreading to other locations, including Iran. The Israeli Air Force played a key role in the exercise, reflecting its centrality as Israel's strategic arm. In this past May, the IAF sent, for the first time, F-16 fighter aircraft to Cyprus as part of the Blue Sun exercise, which simulated war with Hezbollah in Lebanon. The drill also saw Israeli intelligence gathering jets, C-130 transport helicopters, Apache gunships, and special forces on the ground. The Israeli Air Force, which is due to have two full squadrons of F-35 fifth generation jets by 2024, interesting, and it is due to receive a third squadron in the coming years, is preparing itself for the plentiful security challenges of the 21st century Middle East. Chief among these is the attempt of the Iranian-led ISIS to surround Israel with a ring of fire and plant missile and rocket bases in civilian areas all around the Jewish state. In any full-scale regional war, the Israeli Air Force will have to be able to both deal with those threats and tackle Iranian nuclear sites and missile bases thousands of kilometers from Israel all at the same time. There it is again. Come on, it reminds me. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things come in the past. So here we have this report indicating that Israel is prepared for a multi-front war against Hezbollah, against Hamas, against Iran, against the likes of Lebanon, Syria, all of these. And by the way, this sounds a lot like a war in Psalm chapter 83, where in which it talks about this confederate of nations will come against Israel to try to wipe them out. Now, some scholars say that this has already been fulfilled, and they put that scripture, or they say that this was fulfilled in the war of in the 1970s with the nation of Israel. Some say it was even the Six-Day War that fulfilled that Psalm 83 prophecy. But then there's others that say that this is yet to be fulfilled. So I'm not here to debate that. I say, let's see what happens. Time will tell. What my focus is are we seeing the big picture here? Are we seeing the larger spectrum here? There are others out there that are saying that we are merely setting the stage for a far more larger conflict of multi-nations. We could call that World War III.
Are you ready for World War III? The chairman of NATO's military committee says the U.S., Canadian, and European alliance is ready for a direct fight with Russia.
So we see that we're seeing this more and more. We're seeing that NATO is preparing for a larger conflict. A lot of people underestimate Russia and think that Russia is down for the fight, that they've lost too many casualties. They've taken significant damage. They've taken significant losses of military equipment. But guys, again, like the man said, we shouldn't jump to speculation because they are regrouping and they have reinforcements with other nations that they are in collaboration with. Again, let's talk about China. Let's talk about North Korea. Let's talk about Iran. Let's talk about Syria. Russia is an ally to these nations. And look, we've talked about this. We've reported about this. Experts have warned about this. All the voices out there have come together and they've warned about what I'm about to show you a video clip on. And many people are just falling asleep on this because I really don't know what else it's going to take to wake people up, but people just blow it off. They ignore it. They sweep it under the rug. They don't pay attention, but this is a real threat.
Cars could be paralyzed. Airplanes could fall from the sky and power would vanish in a flash. All this and more devastation could happen if the U.S. is hit with an electromagnetic pulse bomb.
Well, analysts warn such a strike is possible, perhaps even likely. Gary Lane explains what these attacks are and how the U.S.
Even likely? Said it was possible, and some say it's even likely? Wow.
Should be preparing for them.
An electromagnetic pulse bomb, or EMP, is a nuclear weapon designed to explode high up in the atmosphere and knock out a country's electrical power grid.
Hits the Earth's surface, feeds into our electrical wiring, and starts shorting out the entire power grid. If they launch three missiles, eastern, central, western United States, it would shut our grid down permanently.
Historian Dr. William Forstgen is a New York Times best-selling author and expert on EMPs. His new novel is 5 Years After, a political thriller about the aftermath of such an attack. Most people assume Russia or China would be the countries most likely to target the U.S. with an EMP. However, Forstgen believes North Korea is the more likely culprit. Nuclear weapons
expert the late
Peter Pry agreed. 5 years before his death in 2022, Pry warned that Kim Jong-un's launch of a high-altitude ballistic missile was a test of North Korea's EMP capabilities against the United States.
The Japanese and South Korean military both described it as practicing for an EMP attack because it was burst on ascent deliberately by the North Koreans when it was at an altitude of about 71 kilometers.
The higher the altitude of the missile, the wider the area of destruction. Pry explained how it would devastate an unprepared United States of America.
Cars would be paralyzed. Airplanes could fall out of the sky. You'd have natural gas pipeline explosions, nuclear reactor overloads. And worst of all, if you had a protracted blackout, it would be a serious threat to the survival of the American people.
No electricity means no pumps to provide enough water needed to irrigate and grow crops. And since America only has a 30-day reserve food supply, 90% of the population would...
Wait, what? Did you hear that? Let me rewind that.
No electricity means no pumps to provide enough water needed to irrigate and grow crops. And since America only has a 30-day reserve food supply...
America only has a 30-day reserve food supply. So listen, people think, well, I don't need to store up food. I don't need to keep extra bottles of water. I don't need to get extra canned goods. I don't need to do all that. I'll just trust God. And I'm not undermining trusting God. But again, I will remind you, Joseph trusted God. Joseph was a man of God. Joseph heard from God. And God spoke to Joseph to instruct Pharaoh to prepare for an event that would be catastrophic because it would be a drought of biblical proportions and famine of biblical proportions. But because Joseph listened to God, obeyed God, and gave the instructions on how to prepare for it, Pharaoh prepared all of Egypt to survive the famine that would come. So again, don't tell me that God doesn't tell people of God today. Don't tell me that the Holy Spirit does not instruct us today to do things that to others may seem unorthodox or foolish or crazy. This is why I tell people, you've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. You've got to get in your prayer closet. You've got to get in the Word of God. What is the Lord telling you to do? Don't worry about what people think. Well, brother, I would stock up on water, but I don't want my family to think I'm crazy. I would stock up on canned goods, but I don't want my family to think I'm crazy. I would be a prepper and prepare accordingly, but I don't want to come across as a nut job. Who cares what they think? Listen, if Noah cared about, oh, come on, can I just preach here for about 30 seconds? If Noah cared about what the people would think about him building a boat when it never had seen a drop of rain come from the heavens and the fountains of the deep, nobody even knew there was such a thing in their day. And he was telling everybody there was going to be a global catastrophic deluge that would cover the planet. And the Lord instructed him to build a boat. Do you think if he would have second-guessed, if he would have been worried about what these people think and what they thought about him doing it, he would have never accomplished, he would have never saved his bloodline, and things would have been totally different than they are today. Again, if Joseph would have listened to somebody else talk him out of what God told him, he would have not spared Egypt and his own family. If Rahab the harlot would have not put the thread, the scarlet thread, over the doorpost that she was instructed to by the men of God, then she would have went into judgment with those in Jericho. If Naaman would have not heeded the instructions of the prophet and went and dipped seven times in the river, he would have never got the healing of the leprosy that he was seeking. If the widow woman who had enough meal for to feed herself and her son and die, it was literally the Last Supper, and the prophet said, make me some from this meal. If she would have listened to reason, if she would have talked herself out of that and not obeyed the voice of the prophet, she would have never seen the miracle of her son raised from the dead. Are you hearing me today, church? I'm telling you, God will speak things that make no sense, and he will prepare you. Come on. The Bible says in the book of John, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will not speak of his own accord, but that which he hears from the Father, and he shall show you things to come. Now, I know you. Some of you has been like, well, I want to know what the big thing is. They're not telling us about the big thing. What does all this mean? All of this is meaning there's something big is coming. Something big is now. Listen, it's not something big that's coming. I think something big is happening right now, but it's going to lead to something bigger down the road. And we're going to get to it. Let me give you one more article that's very disturbing. The United States and our NATO allies are running dangerously low on ammunition, according to recent reports. Let me say that again. The U.S. and our NATO allies are running dangerously low on ammo. Well, gee, some government agencies, this was all the way back in when Barack Obama was president, but remember all the articles that came out and the headlines that came out about federal agencies that were storing up massive amounts of ammunition. Maybe we can get some from them guys. I'm just saying, if they've got that much stored up, maybe we can borrow some from them. According to this report, General James Hecker commented on this very subject during a recent panel discussion, where in which he said, quote, speaking on a panel with the air chiefs of the UK and Sweden during the chief of the air staff's Global Air and Space Chiefs Conference in London, or the USAFE commander, General James Hecker, who also leads U.S. Air Forces in Africa, urged fellow North Atlantic Treaty Organization members to take a hard look at the status of their weapon stockpiles. Quote, I think it's very important that we kind of take stock of where we are in weapons and our weapons state across 32 nations of NATO, and we're getting way down compared to where we were. Again, this is coming from a commander. Now, I'm going to do a quick recap, and then I'm going to get to the point. I needed to say all that to get you to where I want you to get to tonight, and show you something I firmly 100% believe. Okay, so Jesus said in Matthew 24, there is a collaboration. There will be multiple events that will transpire simultaneously, and they will be likened unto birth pangs to indicate and show those who are discerning of the times and seasons in which we're in. It will indicate to them that are watching, that are ready, that understand this, that we are seeing the signs of the coming of the Lord. He said, again, there were seven things he listed there, and six of the seven things are happening simultaneously. We're seeing the earthquake, we're seeing the wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdoms, famines, and pestilences. And so, yes, these are signs of the birth pang of the Messiah, but can I show you the one big thing that is being overlooked, that's not being talked about by the mainstream media, and it never will, and I'll take it a step further, the one thing that even the church is silent about? The one big thing that the church is silent about, and because they will never say this behind pulpits. Are you ready? The big thing that we are seeing happening right before our eyes that will only escalate as we get closer to the tribulation, and that is, ready for it? The judgment of God. Friend, I challenge you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. You go to Leviticus 26. You read about the curses that will come upon a nation that forsake God, that reject God, that embrace abominations, that embrace defiance, embrace darkness, embrace sin and iniquity and transgressions. And revolt against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I know I can already hear it. People say, well, those curses were only for the nation of Israel. No, it says, no, friend, let me tell you what the Bible does say. In Psalms chapter 9, verse 17, oh, no, nobody wants to talk about this verse. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Let me say that one more time for the back row back there that's falling asleep or on their phone. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. That's Psalms 9, verse 17. You go and read the Gospels, and Jesus begins to rebuke nations that forget God. Matthew chapter 25, he talks about the judgment of God that will come upon the nations that forget God, that revolt against God. You go to Joel chapter 3, it talks about this. Zechariah chapter 12 talks about this. The book of Revelation talks about the judgments, the vials, the bowls, and the wrath of God that's being poured out upon the nations that have forgotten God. So don't give me this, well, this is only to Israel, and God's going to turn a blind eye to America. Listen, that's the problem with many of you, is you've got a bunch of pacified, weak, soft, compromised pastors behind the pulpit that don't want to tell you these things. But you go to Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, and let me just tell you, I'm going to give you a quick synopsis of this. I'm not going to read all this. God says that these things will happen to the nation that abhors him and forgets God. He says, I will strike your nation with confusion. While China and Russia and Iran and North Korea and all of our enemies are building mass military and they're preparing to go to war with America, we don't even know if we're a boy, a girl, a man, a woman, a human being. We don't know what we identify as. There is a spirit of confusion has become a stronghold in this nation, and God says it is a curse. God says in Deuteronomy 28, verse 25, he says, because you've abhorred me, because you've rejected me, he says, your nation will be defeated before your enemies. He said, the Lord will strike that nation with madness and blindness. He says over in Deuteronomy 28, verse 36, that a nation whom we don't even understand, we don't know, a foreign nation, hello, will invade our land and take us captive. Some of y'all don't even believe this could happen to the blessed United States of America. In Leviticus 26, he's talking about these curses that will come upon those nations that reject God and forget him. He says, now listen to this. This is a curse. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze. In other words, it'll be famine. It'll be drought. It'll be extreme deadly heat waves that are destroying your crops. God says this, friends. He said, I will send pestilence against you. He says, all the high places in which you put your trust and put your confidence, he said, I will bring them down to destruction. So you want to know what the big thing that the church is silent on, that the media is not telling you about, the big thing is that America is under the judgment of God. Now you say, well, Brother Ricky, okay, that's fine. We see that. We can understand that. We perceive that. But what's the remedy? Friends, listen, I don't care what some, if a preacher tells you a 7-step formula and he says, sow into this and sow into that and this will happen, this and happen. And he's got 15 books on revival and this and that. Listen, it doesn't take all that. There is one single remedy that has been tried and true, and that's right here on your screen, and that's 2 Chronicles 7:14, over 2,000 years old. And it still holds weight today. It's still the blueprint. It's still the remedy. It's still the curse breaker today. And it says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. But my goodness, do you know what a venture that is alone? We can't even get people to humble themselves, God's people. We can't get God's people to even pray anymore. We can barely get people, God's people, to seek his face, let alone turn from their wicked ways. But he says, if God's people, I should bring a correction to that. It's not even God's people. He said, if my people, because not all people that claim to be God's people are God's people. Not all people that claim to be Christians are Christians. He said, but my people, God knows who they are and you know him. He said, my people will know me and I will know them. He said, if my people will humble themselves, if they'll pray, if they'll seek my face, and if they'll turn from their wicked ways. Listen, he's not even, it's amazing because he's not even pointing at the world. He's not pointing at the nations of the world. He's pointing at God's people. Because it starts with the household of faith. It starts with the house of God. Even judgment begins in the house of God. He says, if you'll do this, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. He didn't say your sin. We know our sin can be forgiven. The Bible says in the book of John, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But he's saying here that if my people will humble, pray, seek his face, and turn from their wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven, and he will forgive their sin, and he will heal their land. Listen, the bottom line is, friend, we're not going to see a turnaround, we're not going to see a revival, and we're not going to see an awakening until these things happen in the church and in the body of Christ and with God's true remnant people. And by the way, in case you want the icing on the cake or the cherry on the top or the exclamation mark on this, that solar eclipse that everybody's been talking about is just happening to be appearing next year in 2024, and it makes an X right across America. Oh, friend, it is high time. Listen, I want to close this broadcast. We got a couple announcements, so I want you to stick around just for a moment after we close this program because we got two quick announcements. And then we're going to close. Okay. But real quick, if you're listening to me, you're watching this broadcast, you're listening to this broadcast. And if you are in the remnant of God, if you are a lover of God, you're a God chaser, a God seeker, your heart breaks for what's happening in this nation, and you're amen to me, because listen, only God's people, only those who are discerning, only those who understand the times and seasons which we're in, they're the only ones that I'm going to get in my amen corner. The people that are totally blind, totally lost, they have their head buried in the sand, they're not going to receive a message like this. Why? Because they've been cradled to sleep by their preachers that never talk about judgment, never talk about repentance, never talk about sin, never talk about any of this. So that when someone like me comes along and talks about this, it makes them nervous, it makes them shaky, makes them anxious, and it angers them. Because they don't believe that God ever judges anybody anymore, because they've been taught by these hyper grace apostates that God no longer gets angry. God no longer gets furious. God no longer brings judgment. I mean, my goodness, you might as well just rip out the whole book of Revelation, because you're going to be very disappointed when you read that book. So listen, I'm going to ask you today that, just for sake of time, because we've went over an hour now, so I want you, when we close this out, make time, get your family together, get your husband, get your wife, get your kids, get your church, get your small group, get together and pray earnestly for our nation. Here's how you pray. Just take out 2 Chronicles 7:14. Repent on your behalf. Repent for your family. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Repentance starts with us. It starts with the house of faith. And then begin to pray that, come on, the eyes of their understanding would be open. Begin to pray that not only would a revival would break out in our communities, in our churches, but it would spill out into another great awakening. Because friends, listen to me, if we don't see another great awakening, my friends, I believe that the tribulation is even at the door. Now look, I know you can't stop Bible prophecy, but I believe that God can bring a reprieve. I want to see as many souls come into the kingdom as we can. If God, I would love to see God delay just a little bit longer. And I know, don't rebuke me, because I'm not saying, beware of those who say the Lord delayeth his coming. I'm not saying the Lord's delaying his coming. I'm saying I would like a little bit more time. Why? Because listen, you can call this selfish if you want, but I just so happen to have some friends and family, and I've got some acquaintances that I know if the Lord was to come back right now, they ain't going to make it. So that's the humanity of me. I want to see all saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And I believe that's the heart of God too. So we're not going to pray against God's will, but we're also going to pray according to what the Bible says, so that we could possibly, listen to me, possibly see on our watch, in our generation, another great awakening. How amazing would that be? And we can only hope and pray that that be so. Listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, right above me, you're going to see our main website. Of course, download our free app. This is how you're going to keep up with our ministry. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. Hit yes to push notifications. This is how you're going to be notified of every headline and everything that we're doing to keep up to date. And this is how you're going to keep up with us. Also, if this ministry is a blessing to you, it equips you, informs you, encourages you, it teaches you. If our ministry is just a blessing to you and your family, I want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You could do that two different ways. You can give electronically right down on the bottom of the screen. We're going to pull that right up here at the app. If you have the app, go to the bottom where it says donate, click on there and you can give electronically, or right there on the screen, you can give by check or by money order to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, guys, we love and appreciate your support of our ministry and partnership, because this is how we continue to do what we're doing. Guys, before we close out, it's Thursday, July 20th. I'm saddened to announce that I have lost, a couple days ago, I received the terrible news that that a dear friend of mine, we were really good friends at one time. Of course, you know, just like any relationship, you have your ups and your downs and your goods and bads. But this, my dear sister, Jessica Pearson, we met many years ago. We were really good friends for several years. We were in ministry together. Many of you guys will remember she was an admin for our Facebook page for our ministry. She was an awesome prayer intercessor. She loved God's people. She was a warrior for the kingdom of God. She was a great asset to End Time Headlines. As time went on, we had our differences, some disagreements. We had a falling out. And for about a year or so, we just kind of lost contact, but God reconciled our relationship together. We began to conversate. We began to catch back up. We forgave one another. It was just an awesome reunion. We didn't, but our lives became so busy because during that time, she launched her own ministry called The Warrior Bride on Facebook. It's an amazing ministry, and I watched it just explode. I think she's got over almost 60,000 Facebook subscribers. So God just, she did a great work there, an amazing work there. About 2 days ago, I was informed that the Lord took her home early. I'm still shocked. I'm still processing this. But sometime, I don't want to go into a lot of detail about this, just for respect for the family. But in the wee hours of the night, a couple nights ago, she had passed. And she went on to be with the Lord. I believe she was the same age as me or maybe a year younger. So she was around 45, 46 years of age. Guys, pray for her. She has two daughters. She has grandchildren. So they need her prayers. She's in glory right now. Oh, the crowns that she will receive. They're cheering her on. We're celebrating her. Just the outpouring of support that she's received, the tributes. I was in a couple nights ago, I was in tears on and off throughout the whole night, didn't get much sleep, just because on one hand I was very broken, but on the other hand I was rejoicing because I saw the magnitude of her ministry and the fruit of it, and it really touched my heart, and it made me realize the importance of what we do as ministers. We don't know, man. We don't know when our time is gone. We don't know when God's going to punch our clock. So I know for me, I want to do everything I can to love people, inform people, equip people. I want our ministry to matter. Because listen, when that day comes, whew, man, and the Lord calls me home, if I don't get caught up, and the Lord calls me home, I want to see that fruit in my life. I want to see the impact left behind like Jessica made to all the people whose hearts she touched. So listen, Jessica, we love you. I love you. You are a sister that I have lost. Truly, I have truly lost a sister. We joked about it, folks. We talked about it. We talked about how we were siblings that were separated at birth, and we were so much alike, our personalities. She was a no-nonsense person about the kingdom of God. She was serious about the kingdom of God, but she loved life, and she was a cut-up, and we were so much alike. So I am truly grieving the loss of a sister in the faith, a sibling that I never knew I had. So pray for her family. Just keep them in your prayers. And then the next announcement, guys, I want to make tomorrow night, Friday, July 21st, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We've got a special guest. It is Bishop Larry Ragland. We have been a guest on his show, The Big Picture. Tomorrow, we've got him on End Time Headlines. He is going to share some stories and an excerpt from his book that he wrote. He's going to share about that tomorrow. I'm telling you, you better get ready for a powerful program. I'm telling you, I want you to come expecting. If you are in a storm, you're in a trial, you're in a dark place, and you don't know how you're going to come out on the other end, you've got to tune in tomorrow night, Friday, July 21st, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. It will be live here on Facebook, Rumble, and YouTube. It will be on our podcast. It will be in all those places. Join us tomorrow night for a great program. So we're going to sign off for tonight. So until then, guys, may the Lord bless you. May He keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.